Thanks for joining us for another Family Life Today program brought to you Monday to Friday by Power to Change. I'm sure you'll hear something today that could give you a fresh perspective on your marriage or family situation. Be encouraged as we join Dave and Ann Wilson.
Okay, so we're talking something we never talk about here on Family Life Today, marriage, love,
we're getting romance. Into it again today.
Yeah, we got Colin Outerbridge back with us, pastor of Nona Church here in we're in Orlando, but we're really in, are we really in Lake Nona? We're in Lake Hart. But we're next door.
We're Lake Nona adjacent.
Yeah, well, welcome back. Married to Stacy. How many years?
15 years.
Four kids.
But they've been together 20. They started dating in high school.
Yes. Yeah, you dated a long time.
We did.
Five years.
Yeah, we were juniors in high school when we started dating. And I remember this like it was yesterday. I called her dad, asked her father if I could have permission to take her on a date.
You have two older girls.
Yes.
Will you want their prospective date to call you and ask for permission?
So the rule of thumb in our house is that before my daughters go on a date with any boy, those boys will be going on dates with me.
So what do you mean they'll be going on a date with you?
We're going to go get lunch.
We're talking going on a date to the movie.
So this hasn't happened yet.
Oh, no.
No dates yet.
Not yet.
Are the girls dreading it or do they think this is a good plan?
Up until this point, they've said it's a good plan. So we are very open in our home about dating, very open in our home about relationships and the dynamics of marriage.
Now, is that because as we started talking yesterday, modern romance is broken? Are you trying to help your kids understand how to do it right?
Yes. Modern romance is broken and it is breaking us. And Stacy and I, for 15 years now in vocational ministry, have had a front row seat to the pain, the sorrow, and the regret that so many adults carry when it comes to their relationships. And so I think so much of what we're teaching, so much of what we're helping our church learn and grow in, and so much of what we're trying to bring into our own home is to reorient our life around Jesus's vision of healthy relationships, because we believe that if the foundation is built in a strong way, the likelihood of a home being built and a future of romantic relationship being healthy increases all the more. And so frankly, I think as parents, we oftentimes allow pop culture and music and TV shows and the books that our kids are reading to help frame and shape their imagination of what a relationship should be, what's appropriate in a relationship, or what they should be looking for. And we want to get right into that conversation with our kids and hopefully be the first and the loudest voice that they hear when it comes to understanding what God's desire for healthy romance can look like. And it can be fun and enjoyable and a blast, and we can still do it in a way that honors God.
But even as you did this series at church on modern romance, this has been something that's not just a series. You and Stacy have been living this out. Like, it's important to you. And then you based this whole series that you did at church on Matthew 7:24-27. And I'm going to read it, and then I want you to tell me why that's so important. Like, why is that the foundation of this series? And this is Jesus speaking, and he says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash."
Yeah, the teachings of Jesus are summarized in Matthew chapter 7. It's after he has finished explaining what it looks like to walk in his ways, what it means to follow him, in this really famous sermon called the Sermon on the Mount. And after Jesus gives all of this wisdom on how we're to live, he concludes his sermon with these last words. And he says there's really two ways that you can choose to live your life. One way is to practice what I have taught you, to work at and to engage in doing what I have said will lead to health and will lead to joy in your life. Or you can choose to hear it and not put it into practice. And Jesus makes this great comparison that those who practice are building their life on a foundation that is unchanging. And those who don't put these things into practice, they might have a beautiful home, but it's on a shaky foundation. And when the life's tests come and when life's storms come, there won't be much to show for it. Mm. And I think that in our marriage relationships, in our dating relationships, my goodness, we can have homes that look beautiful on the outside. We can have all of the right aesthetics. We can have the shiplap. We can have the perfect cabinets. We can have everything that makes a home look like it belongs in a magazine or on a TV show. But you really don't know the strength of that home until a storm comes. And I think in our life and ministry, what we've seen over and over and over again is that people who have what looks like something really good on the outside, when life comes and hits hard, you find out that what they really had could not stand the test of time. And so this foundational passage for Jesus's teaching, I think, is directly applicable to our relationships. Because we all know marriages that looked good on the outside, and then all of a sudden we found out that things weren't going good. Mm. We all know of dating relationships that communicated a degree of integrity when in reality there wasn't. And so our hope in this modern romance teaching, our hope in how we teach and think about relationships is saying, hey, instead of paying attention to kind of how things look on the outside, let's do the internal work first so that what we build over a lifetime will be able to last and be a worthwhile legacy. Mm.
You know, it's interesting when I've taught on this in the past, I've done this many times, even at conferences. I said, let me read you a passage and listen to this. And I cut out a part, you know, I just say, you know, therefore everyone who hears these words of mine, it's like a wise man who built his house on a rock. Most people don't even realize I cut anything out. They're mm-hmm. like, yeah, that's right. You know? And it's like, no. The big issue that Jesus is trying to get at, it isn't just hearing the word, because everybody sitting in church is hearing the word. But who's going to walk out and put it into practice?
Correct.
How do you put into practice? Because I think a lot of us do. We go, we listen, we sit, we take notes, we amen. And then we get in the parking lot, we're screaming at people, you know, going too slow, getting out of the parking lot. We're like, it's gone in 15 minutes. I got to go home and live this out in my home. How do you put into practice the words of Jesus so that when the storms do come, I'm building on the rock?
I love that question. And I think that following Jesus is not complex. Hmm. It's making the decision to do simple things consistently. And when it comes to our relationship with God and our relationship with others, it's making the decision to say, what are the practices that I know if I input this consistently in my life? This is wisdom, right? If I input these practices consistently in my life, it will help me get to the kind of relationship that I want to have. We know this, right? If you eat poorly, you're not going to get great blood work, right? Like at some point, that's going to catch up with you, right? If you are not intentional in your marriage, you're not going to have a marriage that is healthy and legacy making. But if you make the decisions to say, I'm going to do a couple of things consistently over time, you'll be amazed at what kind of marriage you can have years later. And it's about small deposits every day that make the biggest difference.
What have you and Stacy done? Like, give us a couple small deposits you've done.
So I think there are two that have been really helpful for us. And we kind of have two phrases that we kind of use around them. So the first one is be aware of the box. Everybody brings their box into a marriage relationship. And inside that box are our expectations. There's a way that we grew up. There's a way that we expected marriage to go. We expect to have food at this time or somebody to make that food. We expect the chores to be divided a certain way. We expect the income to come from certain places or from certain individuals. Who's going to be with the kids? Who's going to pick up the kids? Who's going to do the dishes? Who's going to fold the laundry? How many times a week are we going to be intimate? Are you going to watch my TV show with me? Can I go play golf with the boys? ways. Like there's all of these expectations we have about what marriage needs to be. And I think one of the decisions Stacey and I have had to lean into over the last 15 years, this is not easy, but it is a consistent conversation we have, is talking about what's in our box and being open and honest about what expectations we have, not so that the other person can meet those expectations, so that as we name those expectations, we can realize that we are bringing something into the marriage that needs to be addressed or dealt with. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's the first piece here, is sometimes sitting down with your spouse and saying, here's how I thought this was going to go. It's not going this way. And I'm not saying it has to go this way, but by naming the way you thought it was supposed to go, it creates the dynamic and the space for you to look in the mirror and say, is this marriage about me and what I want? Or is this marriage about you and me serving you?
Okay, give us an example.
I am Caribbean. And so I grew up in a household where I never saw my father make his own plate. The way that it works is dad sits down, mom makes the plate, dad gets the plate first, and that's what a healthy, good family does.
I think it's in the Bible somewhere.
Somewhere, right? Yeah, it's gotta be.
Gotta be.
Stacy's family, you make your own plate. I remember this when we were dating early at a family meal. Stacy would get her plate and she would come sit down, and I'd be like really upset. We got married, she'd make her own plate, sit down. I get really offended.
Were you sitting at the table waiting?
Yeah, 100%.
Just like your dad.
1,000%. And Stacy would look at me and be like, honey, are you going to eat? Like, aren't you hungry? I would just feel this like sense of like great indignation and like how disrespectful like is this, right? Like, and we had a conversation about it years later. I mean, this is one of those things,
right? Isn't it crazy how years went on for
years? Years later, yeah. Where I brought up the expectation. She said, honey, I never knew like that was a thing. And now the great irony is like she fixes me a plate every time we go to our family's house. And she always has a big smile on her face when she does it. Not because she's fixing me a plate, but because she's like, oh, poor Colin needs his plate. I'll take care of you. Like it's a really kind thing that she does to help me have connection back to how I grew up.
Yeah.
Just kind of a quick kind of clue in here. The best time to share your expectations is not in the middle of conflict.
Yes.
The best time to do that is when you've set aside time to say, hey, let's do a marriage check-in and let's talk about what we're expecting and bringing to the table right now. And here's why I think this is so important. Because usually in a marriage, there's one person who's willing to share how they feel, and there's another person who is not. And when you create a dynamic where one person is sharing all the time and the other person isn't, it's not that that other person doesn't have expectations.
Right.
It's that they're not sharing them. And unexpressed and unmet expectations lead to eventual resentment.
Resentment, yep.
And so for our marriage, one of the key pieces is having an open rhythm of communication that says, hey, here's what my expectations are right now. And not placing a burden on the other person to have to measure up and meet them.
And you're saying that out loud.
Yes.
Here's my expectations. And it's just my expectation. I'm not expecting you to meet these.
Yeah. And I think for us, it sounds like things like, here's what I'm bringing into our marriage right now. Or, hey, here's how I grew up and thought this was going to go. Or I wonder if my own stuff is working its way in here. Or when you do this, this is what I'm thinking, right? It's creating spaces and environments to just name it. Because here's what I want to assume. I want to assume that two people that made promises to each other really want to do their best to fulfill those promises.
Right.
What ends up happening when we are unwilling to share what our expectations are is we begin to hold people to standards that they don't even know they're being held to. Mm. And then we get angry at them for things that they didn't even have an opportunity or choice to change. And at the same time, there can be expectations that when we say them out loud, you can almost look at it from an outsider's perspective and say, maybe that's not a great expectation, right? So I'd say that's one big piece is identify what's in your box. Know everybody's bringing a box into marriage, a box of expectations. Open up that box, be honest with your spouse about what's in it, but do not place a burden or expectation on your spouse to need to meet those things. The assumption is that if I can, I will, because I want to love you and I want to serve you. And sometimes it's simple things like, hey, it means a lot to me when you choose to make a plate for me, because it's what I saw as a really special moment between my mom and my dad on holidays. And now what was a previous resentment that I held, a silent resentment that I held, is a moment every single time we're together with family where Stacy's choice to do that. I mean, as weird as it sounds, right? Or as vulnerable as it is, or as silly as it is, I feel like $1 million because it connects me back to my childhood and some of my favorite memories.
Yeah. And it also, I mean, I'm just going to take you to another point you made in the sermon on this is when you put down the box of expectations, you also said win the serve.
Yes.
And that's what she's doing.
100%.
Talk about that. Yeah. Because that's a big point.
Here are the two elements. Put down the box and win the serve. So I don't know if you guys are pickleball players.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Let's go. You
it's
ready?
It's a great game. You tell me when and where. But if you watch pickleball, one of the things that's interesting about that sport or any racket sport, right? Tennis, racquetball, is so much of the game is determined by that first serve. And in the same way, I think that the scriptures have this really interesting way of talking about competition. Romans says this, outdo one another in showing honor. Now, Stace and I both have a sports background, so anytime there's an element of competition, I think we're signed up for it. But Paul's heart here in that text is saying, listen, you want a great relationship, you want a healthy relationship, you want the kind of community that you've always longed for, the kind of marriage and intimacy that you always dreamed about, make this decision, win the serve, outdo one another in showing honor. Think of ways that you can bless your spouse and serve them in ways that will remind them of how special they are, how much they matter to you, and watch the flywheel effect of that. Like, I have never run into a married couple who in their mind was saying, you know, I want to win the serve. I want to outdo my spouse in showing honor. I've never met a couple that didn't have a great marriage that made that decision. Mm-hmm. And so I really do think it's about decisions. I'm going to decide. I'm going to practice communicating my expectations and then leaving them. And I'm going to practice serving my spouse. And let me get really tangible and practical here, because we hear messages all the time about serving. Here's what serving looks like. Pay attention and do something about it. When your wife says, man, I really like that watch or that shirt, pay attention to what she just said, know her size, order it on Amazon, let it show up 2 days later and see the smile on her face. Mm. When your husband says, man, I am dead beat tired, and you hear that when he's on his way home, pull out his favorite drink, meet him at the door, and say, hun, thanks for working so hard for our family. It's simple stuff. It's paying attention and doing something about it.
And I would add too, if you're doing it to get something in return, you might be disappointed.
Yes.
It's not about that.
That's not hesed.
Right.
No. That's not sacrificial serving. No.
Hesed love is not about what God gets out of it. It's what God is able to give us. Mm. And I think when we see our marriage that way, like when we think about marriage through the lens of all of the people in the world, I get to spend a lifetime making this person feel special. All of a sudden, marriage becomes a really fun game. Mm. And I think that competitive spirit of saying, I want to outdo you in showing honor, creates a really great space and environment.
Yeah.
And I just want to add one thought here that I think, and what you said was so brilliant and so true. The goal is not to serve so that you can be seen. And the goal is not to serve so that you can get what you want out of the relationship. But ironically, when you serve, it's like God has hardwired us to find enjoyment in that. Mm. Like there is something I feel when Stacy says that she is interested in, you know, an outfit and I buy it for her. There's something I feel internally. It's like, I'm taking care of my girl. Mm-hmm. When I put dishes away, I'm taking care of my girl. And I know on her end, there's something that she feels when she knows that I've had a hard day. And when I'm with her, she knows she has the power to change my perspective and bring me joy. I know that for her, it's something that she really enjoys as well. Mm. And so I would just encourage you, if you've gotten into this rut in your marriage of comparison, this rut in your marriage of, well, here are all the things that I'm doing and he's not doing that or she's not doing those things. Like you can choose to keep that attitude if you'd like, but you will not find joy there. Mm. But if you make the decision to serve with no expectation of being served in return, what's so interesting is God actually formed something in your heart that's even more valuable and beneficial than getting the thing that you want, because ultimately what you're getting is God's heart for you. Mm. And there is something special about that.
Colin, good stuff. Mm-hmm. Thanks, man.
That's really good.
Appreciate you guys.
We want to thank Dave and Ann Wilson and their team for another edition of Family Life Today. Although our programs are produced in America, the issues facing families like forgiveness, communication, and taking care of our kids transcend national borders. These issues profoundly affect relationships everywhere. In Australia, family life is known as Power to Change, and our mission is to effectively develop godly families, the kind of families that change the world one home at a time. A key part of our mission includes strengthening marriages and families all around the world. We want to do whatever we can to bring timeless truths to the challenges you face as you seek to strengthen your family and join us in changing the world. If you'd like to listen to today's program again, visit our website families.powertochange.org.au and select the podcast tab where you will find the previous fortnight's programs available. We hope you can join us tomorrow at the same time for another Family Life Today.